Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak.
Good morning and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your hostess, Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have stopped by today to tune into this broadcast. And we have an exciting topic today that we want to share from the Word of God with you today. But before we start, we'll have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning just to say thank you. Thank you be so good and so kind to each and every one of us today. Each and every person that will hear this broadcast sometime today, this afternoon or tonight, to hear the Father, we ask you let it be something that you have given to me to say to the callers today, to hear the Father. Those that listen into the archive sometime later, dear Heavenly Father, cover each and every one of them with the blood of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. Direct their steps, dear Heavenly Father. And as we go today into the Word of God, dear Heavenly Father, on the topic you have given to me, dear Heavenly Father, the wrath of God, dear Heavenly Father, and the attributes of God, dear Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you today, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless each and every person in the sound of my voice right now, dear Heavenly Father. Strengthen them, dear Heavenly Father. Give them the direction you would have them to go in. Let them hear you, dear Heavenly Father, not the winds and the waves, but to be able to hear your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen and thank God. First, I would like to say good morning again to each and every person that have called in or may be listening by phone, by our car, or by their computer today. We want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. Excuse me, because God is truly able. We can do more listening to God than we can just listening to the winds and the waves today. And our topic today is the wrath of God. And we took this topic from 1 Samuel 15 and 23. And the word of God says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. You will find that in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and the 23rd verse. Excuse me. And some of the words that I pulled out today from this scripture and from what we're going to talk about today is refuse, rebel, idolatry, stubbornness, and wrath. And just to give you a brief synopsis of the meaning of these words, on refuse means to say that one will not take something that is offered. How many times have someone offered you something and you didn't take it? Even through, I'm talking about through the word of God, not just material things. Rebel. You know, when you think about rebel, it's a person who fight or struggle against authority or worship. You know, you think about that. How many of you all have rebelled against authority in the body of Christ? And on idolatry, mean worship of idols. Don't just mean an idol God, but worshiping of idols too great. Love or admiration for some person or something. You know, you can idolize something and admire it till it becomes an idol in your life. You know, on stubbornness, that's setting on having one's way, not willing to give in. Not willing to give in or change one mind. You know, hard to treat or to deal with. We're talking about this through the word of God today. Also, wrath, meaning great anger, a rage, and a fury. You know, all this come in the wrath of God today. And today, as we go through this here on the word of God, on the wrath of God, you know, according to the scriptures, God can exercise wrath. If we are humble, if we are willing and obedient, we will never need to face his wrath, meaning God's wrath. But if we refuse and rebel, we indeed will experience it. That's why I told you at the beginning what wrath, what refuse, what rebel mean through the word of God. You know, let us look into God's word today to observe God's dealing with those who refuse, those who rebel, and choose their own way. You know, when you refuse and you rebel and choose your own way and not God's way, you wonder why this happened to you, why that's happening, why this is going on in your life, why this is coming up against you. But had you ever thought through the word of God? You know, how you are rebelling against God, rebelling and refusing against the word of God. You know, according to today's Bible reading, the wrath of God is against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know, God is able to set up stumbling blocks and to give people over to delusion. You know, when you feel you know more than God and what the word is saying, don't you know you're up for a fall? You must remember to read the word of God. Do what the word of God is telling you to do. When God gives you a command to do, he left his commandments for us to follow. But when we go against the commandments of God, don't you know we are rebelling? We are refusing? We are stubborn? And wrath come upon us? My. And today I forgot to give, if anybody would like to call in or call a friend, tell them to tune in to the show today. The number to call in is area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And today the topic is the wrath of God. And, you know, as I was reading that and going through that, the wrath of God is against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And what conditions merit God's wrath? You know, it's not when people refuse to obey. When they rebel against God's word and against the authority of the church that he has ordained. There is a way which seem right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You'll find that in Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. And as I was reading on through this for this topic today, the wrath of God is his eternal destruction and distress of all unrighteousness. It is the displeasure and the indignation of divine equality against evil. It is the holiness of God stirred into activity against sin. You know, it is the moving cause of that just sentence which he pours upon evildoers. God is angry against sin, because it is a rebellion against his authority, a wrong done to his inviolable, sovereign insurrection against God's government. Shall he be made to know that God is the Lord? They shall should be made to feel how great that majestic is with a disrespect, and how dreadful is that threatened wrath, which they are so little regard. Oh, my, my, my. Not that God's anger is malignant or malicious retaliation, inflicting injury for the sake of it, or in return for injury received. You know why God will vindicate his demonics as the governor of the universe. He will not be vindicated. You know, as I went through that, the divine wrath is one of the perfections of God. It's not only evidence from the consideration presently above, but is also clearly established by the express declaration of his own words. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. It was revealed when the sentence of death was first pronounced, the earth cursed, and man driven out of the earthly he was driven out of the earthly paradise, and after by such example of punishment as those of the delude and destruction of the city of the plain by fire from heaven, but especially by the range of death throughout the world. You know, it was proclaimed in the cause of the law on every transgression and was intimate in the institution of sacrifice. You know, when you go to the 8th chapter of Romans, the apostle called the attention of believers to the fact that the whole creation had become subject to vanity and groan and travail together in pain. You know, the same creation which described that there is a God and published his glory also proclaimed that he is the enemy of sin and the avenger of the crime of men. My, my, my. But when you think about it, above all, the wrath of God was revealed from heaven when the Son of God came down to manifest the divine character. And when the wrath was displayed in his suffering and death in a manner more awful than that by all the token God had before given of his displeasure against sin. My, 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 my. You know, besides this, the future and the eternity punishment of wickedness now declared in turn most solemn and explicit than formerly. You know, under the new dispensation, there are two revelations given from heaven, one of wrath, the other one of grace. And when you think about that, the wrath of God, when you think about refusing, rebelling against God, the idolatry, stubbornness, where you want to have your own way, not willing to give in to what God is saying, not to, you know, you don't want nothing to come in to change your mindset on what you're thinking, and God is trying to show you and give you a better way of he wants you to do things. We have a guest that have come on the air this morning. We're going to bring them in. Good morning, guests. You are now on the air. May we ask who's calling this morning?
God bless you, woman of God. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker.
Good morning.
I'm enjoying what your discussion for today. And like you say, it's either or. Either
uh-huh.
You're on the grace of God or you're on the wrath of God. There's no middle ground, you know, and you can't be disobedient. And like in the Bible, the scripture you said, if you're disobedient, then now you're practicing witchcraft. And
yes.
and so if you're practicing witchcraft, which is against God, then how are you going to be in the grace of God? It's, you know, we are parents. We all are parents, and we know that when the child is doing what we desire for it to do, going to school, making us grades, and cleaning up and everything, and just, you know, well-mannered, and just, you know, obedient and a pleasant, pleasant child. Then you don't have no problem in blessing that child and having mercy and grace on that child. But if the child is disobedient and everything, you don't reward disobedience. And growing up, my mother would say, "I'm gonna get you." Might not been today, but she's, "I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you." And you think you got away with it? And as soon as you relax. And your mind is not on her and what she promised you. That's when it happens. That's when the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, feel like the wrath of God come down on you in the form of that belt. And she would lay it on you. She would lay it on you. And you just think, you know,
And you
she
know
forgot,
that.
Go ahead.
You know what you were saying. That is so true, because when you say when children disobey and they rebel against their parents, and the wrath of God hit, you know, they will say, "Well, why did I couldn't get this, and how this happened to me?" Because you was disobedient. The wrath of God came behind, and like you say. The parents came down with the rod, and I used to hear a lot of parents tell children, they said, "Well, Mama, you went way back 6 months ago, and you whipped me for this, you whipped me for that. You thought you had got away with it." It's the same way when you put something against God, when you think you got away with it. And all of a sudden, boom, it feels like the earth then caved in on you and everything, and you say, "Oh, my God." You done forgot all about what you done did and what you done said. But with the wrath of God, you know, that anger, that rage, and that fury hit you. And, you know, some people walk around daily with rage in them, you know, with anger, with fury. And, you know, you say, "Well, what's wrong? Put a smile on. What done happened?" You know? And they say, "I can feel that rage building up in me, down in the pit of my stomach. But when it get up to my throat, I just go to saying, 'Jesus, Jesus.'" You know, they start kind of trying to calm themselves down because, you know, that rage can come up so quick.
Go ahead.
You know, and delusion.
No, that's so. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. You know, delusion come after people insist on taking their own way. You know, God doesn't withdraw his mercy, nor his grace, and his loving kindness unless people choose to rebel against him.
And that scripture said that God said, "I will send a strong delusion." Because after God has told you, warned you, you know, God, his way is not unjust. He sends you warning. He tells you. He does everything, but get out in front of you. And sometimes he allows somebody else to get out there with a red flag until you do not enter. Don't go down there. And he give you all kind of words, and people will call you and say, "The Lord told me to tell you this and this and that." And a lot of times people have already made up their mind which way they're going to go. "I'm going to do this thing because I want to do it." And then when it don't turn out right or good for you, then you want the Lord to come and fix the mess that you got. And God says, "I told you in the beginning."
That's right.
Just like the scripture you read. Samuel told Saul, he said, "Go out there and destroy everything. Don't take nothing." And then Saul come back and say, "Well, the people, they did it." And And then later on, he said, well, I was afraid of the people. That's why I didn't obey God. Now, okay, how are you gonna be over people and you're going to let the people dictate to you what to do and how it works? And God's telling you, you do this way. You do that this way. You know, I tell folk all the time, God is not going to hold you responsible for what I do in this ministry.
Uh-huh.
When I obey him, he's not going to hold Sister Sadie in responsible. He said, because I told you, you're supposed to be the pastor. You're supposed to be
all
the
right.
head of that ministry. And you, Sister Sadie said, well, pastor, I don't believe we ought to do that. Well, you know what, Sister Sadie, you're one of my best givers. You're my biggest tither. And I'm here to please you.
Hmm.
Now, guess what? Guess what God is saying? You kindling my wrath.
Mm-hmm.
You kindling the fire. It's going to come down on you because you're listening to the people and not listening to me. And it's so sad that a lot of people is going to be guilty of that. You know what? It might not show today. You might be walking in disobedience today. And you know that you're in the disobedience, and you know what God told you, and you let people turn you against what God say and to make you disobey what God told you to do. And God said, you know what? I ain't going to do it today, but I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. It's going to happen. It's going to come.
Yeah.
The day going to come, I'm going to get you. And when it come down, what happened? What happened when Saul, the Bible says Saul, when he realized what he did, he went and he grabbed after Samuel's cloak and he tore it. And Samuel turned around and said, just like you tore my cloak, God is going to tear Israel away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, a lot of times you realize, oh, I made a bad mistake. God says, too bad, too late. I can't help you now because I told you in the beginning what to do and you refused to do it. And now you're going to pay for it.
Mm.
Now you're going to pay for it. And it's only by God's discretion what happens and how we pay for certain things.
That's right. That is so true. And, you know, as you were saying that, you know, I was reminded of when Abraham stood up and rebelled against Moses and Aaron, there was rejection.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected God. And you know, they'll find that in for those that's writing their scriptures down. That's in Numbers 16 and 12. And you know, this we perceive in God's dealing with them without mercy. Here, God didn't have no mercy on them. And just like you were saying just a while ago. You know, it's a sermon I can remember a long time ago. A preacher preached where it's coming up again.
Mm.
You don't realize what you're doing now, and it's not of God. It's coming up again. Want to? It's so many people, like you were saying, that's sitting in churches right now, being disobedient, being stubborn. They have a leader. They don't want to listen to the leader. They want to do what they say do. Doing is something happened. They're talking against the leader, but when the wrath hit them, who do they call? But the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get whatever done happened to them to see, can they take it away like they are magicians. They, you know, they didn't realize you can't go around talking about the man and woman of God, running them up and down the street, down the runway, or doing everything that they think possible. That's not going to come back upon them. It may not hit it that day, but that wrath is coming back.
Yeah.
So they worshiping idol things. And I don't mean just you got to be careful. You can worship the car too much. You can worship clothes too much. You can worship that business you got too much. You're not putting God first. You know, they forget about God gave them everything they had, but they put God on the back burner and said, "Now nah, I have arrived. I don't need God no more." No, sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. You know, you got to really be. I mean, you can't put nothing before God. No husband, no wife, no children, no car, no home, no nothing. No bank. Think about how many people in the world today got a great big fat bank account and wondering what's missing in their life. The wife can't make them happy. The children can't make them happy. All the money, they're so miserable, they're ready to give everything away. It's something that got that void in them. But they put everything before God. They thought they could do it without God. They thought it was like everything come by osmosis. So they didn't realize the wrath of God was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that they didn't go back and ask to forgive me or thought about it, you know, the wrath of God is as much as a divine perfection as in his faithfulness, his power, and his mercy. You know, many who have turned away from a vision of God's wrath as though they were called to look upon some blotch in a divine character. You know, God has made an attempt to conceal the fact of his wrath. He is not ashamed to make known that vengeance and fury belongs to him, not us. And, you know, his challenge is, see now that I am he, then there is no God with me. I and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. You know, I mean, you know, the wrath and what the world don't know, the wrath of God right now is on the world. Disobedience, stubbornness, rebellion.
That's
the wrath has hit America, if they don't realize it. The wrath of God is here right now.
Now, that scripture you read, 23rd verse, these are the chemicals that will stir up the wrath.
Ah.
Rebellion.
Yes.
And God says rebellion is, in other words, rebellion will kindle it faster because God hates witchcraft.
That's right.
And he hates all that. When you get to dibbling and dabbling and voodoo and hoodoo and witchcraft and stuff like that, God is, oh, no, 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 no. And so people say, well, in God's eyes, that's just as bad as practicing witchcraft. It's to be rebellious.
Uh-huh.
Rebel against what God tells you to do. And what he's giving. I'm trying to hold off a minute, but you're making me
just
go
like
to
nobody else saying nothing today, so go right ahead.
Hosea. And I mean everybody, God says, because you rejected me. You rejected me, I'm going to reject you. And Jeremiah, he said, I had my prophets rise up early in the morning and go out there and tell you about what I would have to be done. And you rejected them.
Uh-huh.
You didn't want him. You didn't want him. And the word of the Lord, this is Hosea 4th chapter, 1st verse, the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth or mercy nor knowledge of God in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Why there's no truth and no mercy, no knowledge of God? Because watch this, because the church, I don't want to get my 501 taken away, so I ain't going to say this. And I got government programs running in my church, so I can't say that. And Mike, if I say, watch this, no, don't even, never mind that, scratch that. I got good tithe payers and givers in my church. And if I get to talking about this, they're going to leave. And if I get to say, and say, now, God said, now, watch this, watch this. We don't understand there are components that are magnetized to the Word of God. So when we preach the Word, not a word, but the Word of God, the unadulterated, pure gospel of the Word, there are components that are attracted to the Word because they hear the Word. There are agents, there are anointings, there are manifestations that are attracted to the Word, which is deliverance, healing, salvation, the Holy Ghost. I said deliverance and healing. All these guys, they come because they hear the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when a person is not preaching the unadulterated Word, you're preaching a watered down gospel. Those agents are not required by God to show up because that's not His Word. He said, "Don't take away, don't add to it, don't." And so when you take away, you know, I give this example all the time. You make a big bowl, big pitcher of Kool-Aid. Let's go with red Kool-Aid. You make a big pitcher of red Kool-Aid, and then you drink it out, and this is so good. It got a lot of flavor, it got a lot of sugar, just like you like it, and you just, ooh, this is so good. So you drink half that pitcher out.
Uh-huh.
You say, well, you know, it's so good, I'm going to pour some water in there and fill it back up. What did you just do? You began to dilute.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So then you drink some more, and then to make a long story short, you done diluted four or five times, and now you just got red water. It's not even Kool-Aid no more. It's just red water.
That's red water.
And that's what people are doing with God's Word. They diluting it and diluting it and diluting it, and now you just got red water. It ain't no. The vitamins is gone. The flavor is gone. The sweetness is gone. All the things that was in there originally when the manufacturer made the Kool-Aid, because they're gone. The properties are gone now because you have diluted it to its lowest form, and it's not even nothing but just red water. It has no vitamins, no sugar, no sweetness, no taste, no nothing. And that's what people are doing with the Word of God. And then you want the properties to still be there, but you're not giving it the way God made it.
All right.
God is not obligated to come down to you. He said, you come up to me. So you dilute the Word. God said, that ain't my Word. I don't have to respond to what's not my Word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't understand. That's why you don't have healing in your church. That's why people are not getting delivered in your church. That's not why souls are not being saved in your church, because you're not preaching the Word. When the Word comes, like I said, all these guys going to show up. They're automatically going to show up because, see that overseer saying she's preaching the Word? Well, we got to get over there.
Uh-huh.
But when you ain't preaching the Word, I can't hear words you're saying.
That's right. They're sitting there like bumping.
The minister can't hear words you're saying.
Mm-hmm. They're chewing you out because you ain't getting. Well, we have somebody else have come on, Pastor Amica. Carla, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Revival Fire. This is Pastor Mike.
Hi, Pastor Mike. How are you?
Oh, man, I am blessed. I am just excited in the Lord. But I tell you, what you were saying about that rebellion is that if you haven't turned your will and your life completely over to the care of God, which is Jesus Christ, then you are going to rebel. You are going to go out and do those things. But when you have Jesus Christ in your heart and He's the King seated on the heart, on the throne in your heart, then you won't rebel because you have crucified, you have died to the flesh. That's the reason why that self-will, he wants us to give our self-will over to him as we know him, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ. I tell you, it is so important that we preach the Word of God in its entirety, the unadulterated Word, so the Word can manifest and be alive. You know, that's what's going on today. See, there's no preaching about holiness. There's no preaching about
right.
or teaching about it. We don't want to talk about that stuff because it's not a popular subject. And, you know, we don't want to talk about and preach about and teach about repentance. Now, come on. You know, glory to God. God, he wants to be loosed in these churches. He wants to be loosed in our hearts. But like you were saying, there are so many idols that are out here today.
Yeah.
That man is just clinging to. And our Father that we serve, he is a jealous God. He wants all of our attention, not just 10% or 5% of our attention. He's so jealous. He wants all of us, every
bit
of us, 110%. And that's the reason why we have to die to these fleshly things. It's like it says over in Romans 8, we have to die to our flesh. I have to be a dead man walking. You know, I've used this scenario before, and it's nothing against people that are dead, but if you go to a funeral and you go over there to the casket, you slap that person in the casket, which I wouldn't do, but it's just metaphorically speaking, they would not set up in that casket and slap you back. They're dead. And the Lord wants us to be dead to our will, dead to our emotions, not be moved, but only be moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, when the Holy Ghost tells me, now, Mike, don't go do that, and I willfully go do that knowing, hey, I don't need you. I know better what's for me. So if I go ahead and willfully do that, oh, boy, am I going to get a bad spanking from Papa, you know? I'm going to get the wrath of God is going to come down upon me. You know, and a lot of times we see these people that are out here that are totally out blatantly sinning and just do, I mean, I've done this before, they're just out there just sinning away, and you're saying, Lord, what's the deal here? They're out here sinning and doing all this stuff, and the Lord speaks to me and says, their time's coming. Their time's coming. You know, it's just a matter of time. The Lord, and this is the old cliche, that a metaphor that I'm going to use, he'll give you enough rope to hang yourself. He's going to give you enough out there, and then all of a sudden he's going to pull the carpet out from underneath you, and you're going to fall flat on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I've got to repent and say, Lord, I am sorry for doing that. You know, I repent. Repent means stop doing it. Don't do
that's
the opposite
right.
of what you were just doing. Just
all
stop
right.
it, you know. You're like an alcoholic or a drug addict. They want to know how to quit drinking. Well, put a plug in the jug. Stop drinking. Don't take that drink. You don't have to do that. You know,
that's
it's
right.
the same thing with sin. People want sin is only self-indulged nonsense. That's all sin is. It's a moment of pleasure for that rebellious moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I did a blunder not too long ago that was totally stupid. But I learned from my mistake that I made. Because, you know, when we make decisions every day, you know, we make good decisions or bad decisions, we're going to get consequences out of each decision that we make, good
That's
or
right.
bad. So, you know, we've got to be making good, godly decisions, but it's got to take that pastor, that fivefold minister, to get up here and preach the unadulterated Word of God so the Holy Ghost can do his job in my heart and convict me of the sins that I'm doing, of rebellion or whatever it is. And see, that's what, like Pastor Emmerichard said, you know, the people don't want to do that. They want to please the people. You know, I don't want to say that because I might lose my 501(c), talk about homosexuality in the church, which is plainly in the church today,
mm-hmm.
which has got to be addressed and dealt with. But see, that is being dealt with when you have the Holy Ghost, when you're preaching holiness.
Uh-huh.
God is so good, and I could go on. I wound up tighter than a $3 watch. God is good. I'm just coming out of a sabbatical, and man, I can sense it rolling. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Well, go right ahead, dear sister.
Well, Pastor Mike, I thank you for coming on. You don't have to stop on my account, because I'm enjoying the Word of God, because I'm learning each and every day. Because, see, I know I don't know it, and I thank God for someone come on the line to share with me, because I can write some little notes myself, because what you are saying is so true. And we had a topic just about a week ago or 2 weeks ago on holiness and the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
And I mean, you know, that's what people, that's what they need now. And, you know, oh, my. Where are you from, Pastor Mike?
I'm Webb City, Missouri, Southwest Missouri, down here in the Ozarks.
Okay. I am so happy you come on. You can continue on talking to me and Pastor Amica. It's so glad you
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'm not going nowhere.
You just give God
that's
the
my
praise.
Brother. That's my
on.
Brother, sister. Overseer, that's my brother.
You know what? I thought his voice was familiar when he said Pastor Mike, and I kept trying to think, where have I heard that voice at? And I was thinking as speaking. All right. Well, I am going to welcome Joy and Peace. Come at any time on the program,
amen.
Because I know what you mean when I came off of my sabbatical, and I just came off another phase. So, I mean, I am trying to get in this word so to learn things. And as you were saying, we are sitting in the body of Christ. I'm not saying no particular church, pastor, whatever, but we're sitting in the body of Christ. Things that we should know from the Word of God, we are still ignorant, that nobody have even touched on yet. But we're sitting in 20, 30, and 40 years in the church. And I mean, just this past week, while I was going through a fast and then a sabbatical, I'm reading and studying. And I touched on some things, talking about the wrath of God for this topic and talking about angels and things. And I kept saying, wait a minute, you know, I've been reading this, but I started really getting into the meat of it. We'll not be taught all this stuff I'm reading about. And it's the Word of God. Why are we not being taught about these things? And when we go somewhere else and somebody's speaking about that, we sitting up there just as green, it's them mustard greens and collard greens out there, because we ain't understanding nothing. And we wondering why the people are not receiving what we say, because the people have never been taught. It has never been brought over the pulpit, the podium, the floor. Nobody is saying what God is saying in His Word. And when you pick up that Word and read it for yourself and see what God is saying, we're being held accountable, because we as men and women of God is not teaching the men and women of God the undoctrinated Word of God, what God says. We want to teach them what, it's like Pastor Amica, you say, them feel good. Oh, I'm scared I'm going to lose my 501c3. I'm going to lose that good paid tithe. Preach the word. That's what God preached out there. John the Baptist, they preached the word. They didn't have no pulpit. They started preaching the word. People started coming from everywhere. Miles around. They didn't have no big building, all these high-priced buildings. And then you ain't got nobody in the building once you done build all them buildings. People were preaching out there in the wilderness. They preached what Jesus said. And that's what He wants us to do today. That's why we can't get souls into the body of Christ. Because when they come inside the building, they see them in the building doing what the same thing they're doing outside the building. So why should I come inside the building? And I continue on living my sin, doing what I want to do out here. But when the wrath of God comes, when the tsunami hit, when the earthquake hit, when these storms hit, when all the stuff in the world, then I forgot about that. Woo.
Amen.
Just like you said there, you just said something. You know, we you 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 No, I never heard about holiness, but my pastor did tell me my 10-step program to being a millionaire. He told me my 12-step program to being, and Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't
That's
say
right.
make a kingdom, seek how you can make your kingdom down here.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the proverb is. People are trying to learn how to make a kingdom down here. That's why you're doing it all, and you call this kingdom work. This is kingdom work. But whose kingdom are you trying to work? You're trying to work your kingdom or God's kingdom?
Come on.
And this is what we have to learn and be able to come up to, you know, whose kingdom are you trying to enhance? Yours or God's? And whose laws are you really obeying? Yours or God's? Because if you can live in sin and bring up if you can live in sin and yet produce a kingdom, you're not producing the kingdom of God. I don't care what preacher told you what and how many days you go to church. That is not God's kingdom. You're not doing kingdom work. You're doing Stephen Amaker kingdom work. That's the kingdom you're trying to build. It's your own kingdom. And this is what so many people, like you said, my pastor ain't never told me about no holiness and no, he ain't preached about no, and I've been going to that church for the last 2.5 years. I never heard him. He didn't tell me that I couldn't shack up. Me and my woman was sleeping together and living together for the past 4 years. And I came to church, and the pastor, he didn't tell me I had to stop. He never told me no. He didn't tell me that. But he gave me a 6-step program on how I can be successful. Another 10-step program on how to start my own business. He gave us another 10-step program on how to do community, be community active in our community. But he did not tell you how to live holy. No, he never told us that. He never told us that. He don't even talk about that. What was the word you said? Holiness. What is that? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I've never seen
Come
that.
On.
I've never No. Holy Ghost. Yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. When I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. It was a man who told me, he said, you got everything right now. He said, when you just come up here, say the word, and now you got everything. You got the Holy Ghost. And they took me in a little dark room back over there in the corner, and the man said, "Say ba 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 ba." I said, "Ba ba 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 ba." He said, "You got it. Go ahead on with it." And so I got the Holy Ghost. I got. I'm saved. I got the Holy Ghost, but you're not living holy. No, you got the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Yeah. Ooh,
how do you say you living holy? Ooh. How you say you got the Holy Ghost and you're a lesbian, you're a homosexual, but I got the Holy Ghost. See, I speak in tongues. I run up and down the aisle like everybody else. I do all these things like everybody else in church. And I must got what you got because the Holy Ghost will constrain you to live holy.
Come on.
Yes.
Don't you say that.
Come on.
Go there.
All right.
I don't go nowhere where I can't take the Holy Ghost. That's living holy.
That's it.
Woo! I'm glad you said that, Pastor Amaker. Last night I went to the prison. That's still tying in with my lesson today on the wrath of God. And a young man, I had him to get up to testify and stuff, and I had a lot of them did it. And the young man got up, he said, I thank you for having, you know, to come up and just share with stuff. He said, but let me tell you about me. He said, I was raised up in church. I know church protocol. He said, I was the praise and worship leader. I could tell you every song that needed to be played, but I didn't know nothing about the word of God. I had never opened up the word to know what it was saying inside the word. I looked at that young man. He said, but I was the praise and worship leader.
Mm.
And you say I'm at
Come
now,
on.
I was praise and worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
I could sing the song, I could, but when it came, it took me coming to prison to open the Bible to know what does say the Lord. That's why I'm saying it's people going to hell in a pig basket sitting on the pews in the church.
Come on, come
there
on.
You go.
Men and women are not teaching the people. Yo, you got Bible study, you got Sunday school, you got Sunday morning service. But are you opening that Bible? Get a Bible for them if they ain't got one. Start going through the Bible. Direct where God send you. Start teaching the basic stuff. We
come
got
on.
To go to the basics. We got too many souls lost. We got too many preachers in prison.
Uh-oh.
Too many worship leaders in prison. We got too many apostles in prison.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
I don't even know the word. They had to come to prison to get the word of God. And we wonder why the wrath of God is on America. That's why.
Can you go to jail? Can you go to prison with the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
No.
Can you go to prison with the Holy Ghost? Can you have the Holy Ghost and be convicted of a crime that will send you to prison?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's impossible. It's impossible. It is virtually impossible. So when you said that just now, that struck a major chord. Evidently, these people does not have the Holy Ghost.
There you go. They
do not have the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you say you got. You got a note, but it ain't the Holy Ghost.
Here it is. Here it is. It's the unholy ghost.
There you go.
Not the Holy Ghost. It's the unholy ghost. Did they pick up some devil somewhere, and then that fivefold minister has petted that thing and pacified it instead of dealing with it and just casting that thing out of them and letting them know that they've got a devil to get rid of? Because a lot of these ministers are out here today. They'll stick their tail between their legs, so to speak. They won't confront no devils in church. They'll let it go. Because I just came out of a church where this pastor knew that one of the parishioners, and they're on his staff, just got a devil. Well, number one, the pastor's got a devil to begin with. They'll allow that devil to be in that church, you know, and that's what's going on in the body of Christ. Well, like you said, the praise and worship leader, he said he's got the Holy Ghost. Well, he's got the unholy ghost, got some devil in there, and then the pastor or the minister that is or teacher, they're not confronting it. See, this is where we've got to get the spiritual backbone and start being bold as a lion and come in there and preach the word with boldness and with truth. If you're living that holy lifestyle, then you're going to have an anointing on your life. Here's another thing. You've got Pastor Whistlebritches, and then you've got Apostle Rockethead. He wants to go in there and do all this stuff to get all his hidden agenda taken care of because he wants his gain, his notoriety, instead of being a pure man of God, walking in the holiness of God, having that authority in his life, by you can hear it. He doesn't have to have a name because just the anointing is going to tell everybody who he is, number one.
All right.
And when the anointing is on the scene instead of flesh, then devils are going to flee. See, this is what we're going back to the word again, because you got this people saying they've got the Holy Ghost and they're out committing fornication. And here again, we got a spiritual fornicating going on, as well as natural fleshly fornicating going on, because they don't have the true Holy Ghost in there in their lives saying, don't you do that. Don't you even think about that. You know,
yes.
And then when you've got that humble heart, then you're going to be repentant. You're going to get down on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not even going to think that thought again, you see. It all comes with, it's in the mind, because it comes with into our thinking. So the man thinketh, so is he, and he will go ahead and end up acting out what he's been meditating on.
That is so true. I mean, you know, because but just with me, I can't talk about nobody else but me. Because I've been really, really taking my time getting in this word and asking God.
Come on.
direction. I'm asking God, I say, God, I feel shut. I feel like I'm 10 and 20 years behind on things that I should know from the word. And I'm sitting here, and then when I come up with questions and ask the men and women of God, oh, well, I don't teach that. The Lord never led me to that. Oh, well, I couldn't tell you about that. But wait a minute.
Come on.
Now you're going to
come on now.
All these people to the slaughter?
Come on.
These people got their Bibles. They're coming with their Bibles every Sunday, and they're not even opening them up. Or when they open them up, you're going to go have a feel-good message.
Come on.
That you know. You going with Miss So-and-so in the church, but you're going to get up there and tell Mr. So-and-so and so-and-so that they shouldn't be doing this here. But Mr. So-and-so, no, you going with Sadie Sue sitting right on the same row with me.
Come on.
So now you going to preach to me, and I see what you're doing. And
that's
you
why they don't preach sin.
You putting yourself up there on the pedestal, and you living in sin.
Come on.
That's why they don't.
You got to
that's
clean
why they don't
up touch. Your house before you can come to my house. But now I see you doing that. I don't smoke, but I see you smoking. You got an office full of smoke. But you get up there every Sunday to tell the people about they shouldn't smoke, what this doing to their body and everything. And then when somebody knock at your office and when they open the door, they can't get in. There's so much fog and smoke in there.
Come on.
To come into the office of the church. But you just left preaching about smoking. Now, what is that member supposed to think? They back up and say, well, wait a minute. I'm confused. He just finished preaching a sermon about smoking and drinking, but here he is in here smoking, orgy, and everything else going on in his office.
A lot of times it's not saying smoke either.
And then they wonder why the wrath of God. We still under the wrath of God, for all of you all that's listening. We still talking about the wrath of God.
Yeah. That's why you don't touch sin. That's why you don't preach against sin, because if I talk about your sin, sooner or later you'll see my sin, and I'm trying to keep my sin. I'm petting my sin. I'm in rebellion. I'm rebelling against the word of God. He said, come out from among them and present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And so I don't want to do that. I want to continue to live according to my sin. So I'm not going to do it like that. I'm not going to even pay no attention to that. I'm not going to even get into that because I want to hold my sin. And like you say, there's so many people that are going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay. You got an instruction manual, and you're the supervisor of this company. And you mean to tell me when an employee comes to you and tell you, say, well, don't the manual say this, and don't the manual say that, and you doing this and you doing that, then what am I supposed to do? What are you going to tell the employee? Well, see, that's for you, but I'm exempt from what the manual say. Well, no, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Good for the gander.
And so it was in the manual that you can't do it, then you're supposed to be the first example to everybody else on this staff on what's to happen. And that's the thing, like you said, you come up with, I can tell you some horror stories. I heard one young lady went to her pastor's co-pastor, and she took her Bible in there. And the woman told her, said, don't come in here with no Bible. I don't want to hear nothing out of the Bible, what you got to say, to solidify what you're saying. What are you saying?
Come on.
What are you telling me? Isn't that what we're supposed to be? It's supposed to be based on the Bible. If I got an issue or anything, aren't we supposed to use the Bible not to twist but to rectify our issues? And then you
That's
come
right.
in there and tell the people, don't bring no Bible in here because I don't want to hear nothing out of the Bible. And that's why so many people, somebody just told me that the other day, I don't want to hear nothing about no Bible. Don't tell me. And they, are you a believer? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. But don't tell me about what the Bible say. Because why? Because I'm enjoying my sin, and I don't want to let it go. So
come
don't
on.
Tell me the Bible say don't do this and don't do that. Because I want to stay connected to my sin. And if you can use, okay, you want to stay connected to your sin. All right. God said, all right, your day is coming.
That's right.
Your day is coming. Prayerfully, watch this. Prayerfully, God will allow his wrath to hit you while you're on this planet.
Come on.
Because if you don't experience the wrath of God on this planet, at least you can be delivered and saved from it. But if you don't allow his wrath to hit you until you get on the other side, then you got big problems. You got big problems because his wrath is gonna endure for all eternity. You're gonna be burning in the lake of fire, and the Bible says where the fire quenched not, it's for all eternity. There we go. You want to talk about the wrath? Okay, let's tell you where the wrath is. In hell. Hell. Lake of fire. That's where the wrath of God is. And it's torment from the second you get there to throughout all eternity. So you're going for billions and billions and billions of years. It's not just going to be for a little while and then God going to let you out and say, well, did you learn your lesson now? Yeah, Lord, I learned it. I get out. Ah, stop now. I said, no. He said, you had chance and you refused it while you was on earth. You didn't want to hear this. You didn't want to do this. You didn't want to go through what I told you to do. What I told you. Be obedient to my word. So now you're going to have to burn for the rest of, watch this, not the rest of your life, but the rest of God's life.
Come on.
Yeah. Whoa.
As long as God lives, you're going to experience the wrath of God. So it's like, get it right now. Don't leave earth without it.
Come on.
Don't leave this planet without it. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You better heed to them. You better get with it. You better go with it. You better go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, that is so true because we have to go back, and so many churches don't have to go back to the base. But some people, well, they did that way back then, and they did that. The word is still the same. Word of God.
Come on.
This is a blueprint that he left for us. It's this Holy Bible. And I see time after time again, as I go in and out of different prisons and ministries, where people are so out of order when it comes to the word of God. They got so many programs on their agenda.
Come on.
They got this on their agenda that they done put God over in a corner. You know when you can go to a church and you can, when you walk through the door, you can see the demons here and there, all
come
through
on,
the church.
Come on,
and the pastor sitting there and ain't cast out now demon in that church. You can pick up if you got any discernment, those that say they got the Holy Ghost. And when you think, when a word come forth for that house, that the wrath of God is on that house, destruction is there now or it's on their way. If you got any understanding, when somebody say destruction and the wrath is here or it's on their way, don't you think you need to get yourself together and get up on out of that? Do you want the destruction to get you in that? Or don't you want to get to where you can learn the word of God so the destruction will pass over your home, pass
come
over
on,
your it. Car.
Amen.
And there's so many people are caught up in name, in title. I tell them, it say overseer, but I'm just a servant of God, trying to learn and trying to tell everybody that I know about Jesus and trying to learn more about Jesus. That's why I'm trying to go in this word every day. Okay, God, where you want me at today? What's my assignment for today? I'm not trying to get my own agenda. Okay, God, where you want me to go to this? Where in the Bible? Let me open it up and you direct me where you want me to go. Because it's a lesson in here you want me to learn today. is somebody going to call and ask me. But if you done prepared me, I'm going to have the word and the answer for them.
Two places, your title is not important.
That is.
Two places, your title is not important. That's in jail, in prison, and in hell.
All right.
Come on.
You in prison, you're a number. You ain't a title no more.
That's right.
They don't care. Apostle Whistle Britches, Dr. Whistle Britches, then Judge Whistle Britches. They don't care in prison what your title is. You
Come
have
on.
Been stripped of everything but
That's
a
right.
number. And they give you that number. You
they
are
showed.
What we going to call you from now on. And after a while, you forget I'm not an apostle no more.
That's
you
right.
Ain't gonna go, you ain't going to go in your cell and tell your roommate, call me Apostle Johnson. Call me Apostle this. They're going to say 954-911. That's your number. That's what I'm calling you.
There you go.
That's what I'm calling.
Come on.
And then when you get to hell don't shoot. Hell will say, oh, apostles over there. All the apostles, that's your place over there. That's your room. Go over there. We got a special torment for you.
Come on.
A special room for you because you were supposed to be an apostle of God. And Jesus said, watch what Jesus said. Many will come in my name.
All right.
To deceive many. Not to say, now watch this. The revelation is they're not coming and saying, I'm Christ, I'm Jesus. But see, when you say words like apostle, when you say words like prophet, when you say words like pastor, it is synonymous to the body of Christ. It is saying, I am a person, I'm a man or woman of God. When you walk in those, when you introduce yourself as that, and because this is the only place that those titles are recognized in the church. You say, I'm apostle this. You walk up to anybody, people say, apostle. Oh, okay, so that means you're a preacher, huh? Yeah. But then, like you said earlier, but then when now you start looking and doing and dipping and dabbing in sin, and you're deceiving people because, again, you're not preaching against sin, but you're upholding sin. So that's where this deception is.
All right. That is
you're
so
not
true.
A man of God. You're not a woman of God. You're a child of the devil. Your father, Jesus said your father is the devil. Your father is the devil. You can't have two daddies. It's impossible.
Come on.
It's impossible for you to have two daddies.
Yeah. Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? People don't realize, those that might have just tuned in, we're still talking about the wrath of God. But we had to break it down to like that for you to know about
Amen.
The wrath of God. It's time up to get up to be about your father's business. Not the world's business, about your father's business. You know, everybody's saying he's coming back. He's already here. He's already here. And if you've not seen that the Lord is walking the earth, something is badly wrong with you. He's walking up and down these churches. He's saying he's coming back. He's coming back for the church. It's not the building. That's that church inside of you.
Come on.
And we got to know who we are. We don't need nobody to tell us who we are in Christ Jesus. We ought to know. We ought to walk, living, and breathing this thing every day.
Come on.
I found myself yesterday at a event, a luncheon. I'm still talking about the whole time I was sitting there at the table. Don't y'all know I was talking about God? I was going on to what they were saying and doing, but when somebody brought up something, I saw God that was going to manifest himself in that situation, in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, you know, the Lord said, Dustin, you know what you just said? This is what God is saying. And I found myself, and when I realized it, I said, "Who I guess this thing? Who she is? And what she is?" I was still talking about the Word of God. Because everything that was talking about, it came brought right back down to what God was saying in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would let my light shine. I didn't care where I was. I would let my light shine. I wasn't trying to hide my light under no bush.
Everywhere I go, I'm going to shine.
My light shine.
Amen. You know, I can say one thing that Pastor Sadie was saying there that about hell. Hell, you know, all these earthquakes that we're having every day, people, wake up. Hell is enlarging itself like it says in Isaiah. Hell is literally enlarging itself to take on the majority of the population here on this earth. You know, there was only eight people that made it into the ark. You know, and there's more people now on the face of the earth than what there was ever in recorded history. And, you know, hell is enlarging itself because there's so many people that are still in self-will. They have put themselves upon the dethroned God and put themselves upon the throne of their own lives. And they're literally, you know, we walk out our salvation daily with fear and trembling. And that fear and trembling is a reverence of God because of the wrath of God if we don't. And, you know, the thing that I try to tell people is we are walking out our eternal salvation daily, our eternal destiny daily. Because, you know, like you were saying, Christ is already here. You know, if I die today, I'm going to end up somewhere. You know, we're only promised the here and now. See, that's what people, they're caught up in all this other garbage, but they're not into the here and now. That's where God is at. He's in the here and now, right here, right now, and not what's going to happen 5 minutes from now or what happened 5 minutes ago, but what's going on right now here at this show. That's where God is at. And see, we humans have a tendency, well, you know, I'm going to stay in that rebellion of this sin because I don't want to hear what that preacher, Steve Amerkirch, got to say because he's convicting me. He's talking, and I'll hear again, no, he's meddling in my business. No,
all
it's not
right.
Pastor Steve Amerkirk meddling in your business. It's the Holy Ghost working through Pastor Steve Amerkirk who's meddling in your business. He's trying to get you, the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to turn out of your sin because you could get in your car and drive down the road and get hit by a tractor trailer and die. And you're going to end up somewhere in eternity. This is what people don't realize. They're waiting for the, quote, rapture to happen. No, you could get raptured out here right now by a car wreck, or you could fall over dead. See, this is what's not being taught, again, from the pulpit. That hell is enlarging itself to take people's souls in. You see, and also in the kingdom of God, when Jesus was here ministering on the earth, he preached more about people trying to get them to turn out of their sin to keep them from going to hell than he preached about people going to heaven.
All right.
Because he wanted people not to be in sin because the eternal salvation would be in hell if they were in sin. That's where you're going to end up. If you're playing around in sin, nobody knows. I call it spiritual Russian roulette. One of these days you'll hit a loaded chamber and your number will be up and you will die. Because we're all appointed to die. You know, every one of us is going to die some sooner or later.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So we've got to be ready, real, and right, and we've got to have our eternal destiny already working it out daily so when the time does come and the Lord says, Mike, I'm calling your soul, you're going to come home. You know, I know, hey, I'm headed to heaven if I'm walking in holiness.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
You're going to heaven.
That's
immediately,
right.
You're going to hell. You're not going to no holiness
place
and, and stay there for a few years. The Muslims think, the Muslims believe, those that do go to hell, they're only going to go there for a couple of years or for a little while, and then then God going to release you and say, well, now you learned your lesson, come on in. No, that's not the way God, that's not the way Jehovah God operates.
Come on.
I give you time. Every day that the Lord allow us to wake up, he says, I just gave you another chance. See, that's how my mercy is. That's how my grace is. Even though you're disobedient to me, I'm giving you a chance to get it right. Now, but then after a while, then, hey, his mercy endures forever, but his grace don't.
Come on.
And you run out of grace, then now you in a place, he says, well, now you got to experience the wrath.
Come on.
Now you're going to experience my wrath because you did not hear my word. You did not obey what I said for you to do. You didn't walk in what I told you to walk in.
Come on.
So now you got problems. And this is what we're saying to those that are listening, live or in the archives, wherever. When you listen, God has given us a chance to get it right.
He's not a mean old man.
God is not a mean old man. But even mean old men have a level of tolerance that they're going to tolerate things for a while. Come on, man. You ain't got to be a mean old man.
Come on.
You married to a woman and she keeps cheating on you. The first time you say, well, okay, I'll forgive you. Second time, you're like, now, wait a minute. The third and fourth time, then you know what you're going to say? Hey, we done. I'm out. I can't hang
Come
with
on.
You no more. Because your tolerance. Because you are doing something that is supposed to be against even what we're supposed to be about. Now, there's sick couples out there that they sleep around on each other. That should not even be, like the Bible says, that should not even be named among us. But there's some stuff that's going on in the body, in the church, that should not even be named among us.
Uh-huh.
Two men sleeping together should not be named among us. Two women sleeping together should not be named among us.
Amen.
Stuff like that should not even be named. Yeah, well, you know, there's a few mean people, and we're working on them. There's a few rebellious people, and we're trying to work on them. But there are certain things that just should not be named among us.
Okay.
There's certain things that should not be in church. Churches, certain conversations should not be in the same sentence.
All right.
Mom.
Church and certain topics should not be in the same sentence. It shouldn't be because that's not what God. No. You shouldn't be saying stuff and then saying church. People in the church are doing so and so. No, you shouldn't be saying that. And that's the thing that God says, I'm not gonna hold the whole body, but I'm gonna hold the ones that is in it responsible, and that's who my wrath is gonna go on.
Come on.
They're gonna experience my wrath.
Come on.
Yeah.
How do you want God to see you? How do you want God to, because watch this. Don't forget, he see you. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. If you go down to the depths of the ocean, he said, I'm there.
Come on.
If you go way up into the farthest planet, he says, I'm there. Wherever you go, God is. And he's watching, and he sees what you're doing.
Yes, he does.
I tell people, I say this, like this. If I'm in my house by myself, nobody's in the house with me, and I go in my closet and close the door and turn off the light, and I sin, God sees me.
Yes, he does.
Then
God sees me. You see, he said, I see you. I see you. I'm right there. I see you. You see what I'm doing? Yes, I see exactly what you're doing. You're
That's
spinning.
Right. Hide from me.
I'm right there. I'm right there. You can't hide from God.
No, you can't.
You can't hide. You can't. Watch this. He said, I know your thoughts are far off, which means I know your thoughts before you think him.
Amen.
There's no way that you're going to be able to hide from God. There's no way that you can get away with something and God don't even know that you're doing it. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that is so true.
Yes.
You know, and if we love God, and if we have the brotherhood, if we seek and love the truth, and if we are willing and obedient, we will see
That's
the
right.
loving heart of God and will experience his compassion. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You'll find that in John 14:6. He also said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You'll find that in John 10:26.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, for this, humbly pray. Help us to obey today. We want to be obedient to God today. We don't want the wrath of God to come on us. And he said, as I said in the beginning, you know, if we are humble and we are willing and we are obedient, we will never need to face his wrath. If we are humble, willing, and obedient. But if we refuse and rebuke, we indeed will experience his wrath. So we have a choice and a change. It's up to each individual. You want to be humble, willing, and obedient, or you want to be refused or rebel and stubborn. Give us a chance. It's up to us to take right road.
Amen.
That's it.
Lord,
that's it.
I thank God for this lesson today. I thank God for Pastor Amica and Pastor Mike for coming on. I had another, but they must have to leave. They didn't speak. They were just listening. But we want to thank God for today, for each and every person that tuned into this show today to hear the topic, the wrath of God. I hope each and every person search themselves and see where you are with God. Do you want to be humble, willing, and obedient, or do you want to be stubborn and rebel against God? It's your choice today, and we hope that you make the right choice today. Because serving God and knowing the word, we're going to pay off after a while. By and by, just keep getting up, saying good morning, and doing what God said to do. It's going to pay off after a while. And I want to thank you all again. We have 1 minute. And Pastor Mike, would you like to pray us off the line today?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Dear Father God, we just come to you and we just love you with all of our heart. We just thank you for your word that was being brought forth today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that the Holy Ghost would just be with the people, that would work off the word, your word, Father, to do the job that you've intended it to do. And I just thank you so much again for this broadcast today. And guide and direct it in each and every one of us. And Father God, if there's anybody that out there that is needing salvation, Father God, we just ask that they would just cry out to you, Father, and just say, I'm done living this way, and repent of their sins. And they will enter in with you, Father, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen. And I want to thank you, Pastor Amica, for coming on and share the word of God on the wrath of God. I want y'all to have
God
a wonderful and a blessed day in the Lord. And may God continue truly blessing each and every one of y'all in the ministry. He have called you all to be blessed. And until next time, God loves you and so do I. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.